But, okay, good morning. Again, when you see the toothpick come out, turn your minds on, open up your hearts, open up the Word of God, let's rightly divide it, so why? We'll be equipped to apply it. It's 11:7:21. I'm in Ephesians chapter 1, going verse by verse. We're going to just deal with a part of a verse today, Ephesians 1:10. And so before we get started, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for another beautiful fall day. I look at them colors and I think how creative you are. When I think of all the believers here, I think you've made us into new creations, how creative you are, how powerful. And to think that you want a relationship with us, you want intimacy. And thank you, Father. We learn from your word, your mind, your heart, your will. And I pray your word, I thank you, Lord, that your word works in us. And then it spiritually energizes us. And I pray that we're equipped today through the adult Sunday school here and then through the church service with the pastor, that your Holy Spirit equips us and helps us to desire to do your will and to know your will. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So it's good to... good to see y'all out. Mary don't want to sing, so that, you know, I was thinking of a song this week that I forget where we used to sing it, but I love to see those happy faces praising God in heavenly places. So I was thinking about that when I come up and teach that when you see people getting into enjoying, learning about the grace of God. And that's, for me, very satisfying. So let's read first Ephesians 1:10. And as always, I'll try and get in my verses. But we're going to dig some stuff out of here from one verse, only part of one verse, actually. This is part one, actually, of Ephesians 1:10. And the name of the message is, what's it mean to be in Christ? So let's read the verse. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and both which are on earth, even in him. So next week we're going to look at the fullness of times. And but this week I want to look at what's it mean to be in Christ. At the end of the verse 11 there, that's where it uses the term in him. Or, you know, you think of in Christ, in him. And so what's it mean to be in Christ? Now, we're not going to do an exhaustive study, or we'd have to do a whole series on it. But hopefully, again, I always like to whet people's appetites to study further on their own. So... the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians uses this term 36 times. And actually, terms like it, it's like over 80 in the book of Ephesians. When you see the Holy Spirit in God's Word repeat something 36 times, you know it's important doctrinal truth that we should take notice of. It's very important when you see things repeated more than once. The Holy Spirit's making emphasis that it's very important for us. You know, when Paul says rejoice, again, I say rejoice. It's important to God that we rejoice. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad God wants you rejoicing and not, you know, being depressed and, you know, feeling all guilty and, you know, that's why he tells us we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So everything we as believers have from God is because we're in Christ. It's part of our identity. To be in Christ as a member of the body of Christ means, one, we have a new identity. Like I said, this is not exhaustive, but just give you an idea. We have a new nature, we're a new creation. Three, a new source of strength, powerful resurrection life in us, because we're in him and he's in us. we have a new destiny. You have A, the rapture, and we also have citizenship in heaven forever. Ain't you glad? Mm-hmm. Praise God. I'd rather be a citizen of heaven than a citizen of hell. No, of course. And it's all by God's grace, right? So we're going to look at what it means to be in Christ as members of the body of Christ. Now, later, I don't want to deal with it right now because, as always, I got a lot to go over. But we'll look at what did Paul mean when he, you know, because we know Paul's the first member of the body of Christ, right, at this church. You know, he said in 1 Timothy chapter 1 that he was saved as a pattern for all those who would believe thereafter. So he was the first person in the body of Christ. But what's he talking about when he says, he's talking about the kingdom believers that were in Christ before him? Well, they were in Christ according to prophecy. He didn't say they were in the body of Christ. See, some new believers will get freaked out when they see that. New grace, well, you know, I've been being told Paul's the first person in the body of Christ. Well, I'll go into that, and actually we'll look at a couple verses based on that, and it will kind of explain it. We're in Christ according to the mystery. It was a secret, right? Paul said, unsearchable in time past since the world began. But them being in Christ, they were kingdom believers, right? Peter, the other 11 at Pentecost, those from John the Baptist, all the way through that kingdom program. And so they were in Christ according to prophecy. So don't let, you know, if someone out there is a new grace believer, don't let that throw you off. Don't let one obscure verse. Some people, you know, that's what cults do, or false teachers. They take one obscure verse and make a whole doctrine out of it. Take the obscure verse and see what's clear all over in Paul's epistles, or the whole Bible, and then that's where you get your doctrine. So anyway, let's look at what it means to be in Christ as members of the body of Christ. Go to Ephesians 2, 5 and 6. Ephesians 2, verse 5 and 6. And like I said, this is not exhaustive, but, you know, I think coming to church is very important for believers. It's sort of, to me, like a compass. You know, sometimes we get off the compass during the week. Satan's the great, man, I don't know about your week, but I had quite a week. Satan was just throwing distractions left and right, the car, different things. And I think when you come to church, it gets your mind more on the mark. It's like a compass, you know. And God uses everybody's gifted, not with outward spiritual gifts, but inward spiritual gifts. And we all have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit in us will encourage one another, you know. So I think it's very important. So, and we got to be reminded, because sometimes we forget who we are in Christ, because we ain't always acting like who we are. You know, we got a new identity in Christ, right? You're holy, without blemish, perfect in the sight, totally righteous, new creation, but we don't always act like that, right? We forget who we are sometimes. You know, that's like parents used to tell their kids when they leave. Like, say, if I would tell my son, don't forget, you're a ball back. Act like a ball back. So he acted short. Bill didn't hear me on that one. He acted short, Bill. And he's taller than me. My gym teacher used to say that. Give me the ball back, Mr. Ball back. How would you like to live with that name? It's a good name, but they had fun with that. Ephesians 2, 5, and 6. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us, made us alive. That's what that word means. Together with Christ. You see the resurrection there? You see why the gospel isn't just Christ died for our sins, is it? What did Paul say the gospel is? Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, buried, and he rose according to the scriptures, right? See, that's the full gospel. Most churches are teaching half a gospel. Oh, Christ died for your sins. But then they tell the people, but you got to get forgiven over and over. And you know, 1 John 1:9, the Christian spire of soap, right? And they don't teach the full gospel. Even full gospel, they call themselves full gospel churches. See, the resurrection is very... Paul said if he didn't rise from the dead, we're still in our sins. The resurrection is important, man. The resurrection is the empowerment for the Christian life. Christ in you, your hope for glory. He lives in us. We don't know him according to the flesh, right? 2 Corinthians 5:16, I think. Paul said, we no longer know Christ according to the flesh. We know about him, you know, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, right? But we know him as our head, risen, exalted. We're seated with him, right? And that's part of being in Christ, even seated with him. We're in union with him. You can never be separated from Christ.
Amen.
Ain't you glad? Praise God. Amen. So don't let nobody tell you you get out of fellowship when you sin. Now, we shouldn't sin. That's never God's will, whether on the law or on the grace. But God dealt with their sins once for all, right? So this way, you know, the wages of sin, does it say is out of fellowship? The wages of sin is death. So if God didn't deal with all of our sins, as soon as we sin, we would spiritually die, the spirit. God's spirit would leave us just like he left Adam. But God dealt with our sins, right? Once for all. And not only that, I don't want to say negative, but it's taken some away. But then he added some. He declares us righteous. He makes us totally new creatures in Christ, right? And your new nature is totally righteous, wants to serve God. But like I always say, there's that struggle, right? That's why it's so important to rightly divide the word. Because otherwise, you're going to think that God's going to punish you when you sin. That he's mad at you. That he's disgusted with you. And he's not. He sees you in Christ. He is pleased with you in Christ. Remember the Father and the booming voice at Christ's baptism? This is before Christ did any ministry. What did he say? This is my beloved Son, who I am well pleased. And what does Ephesians tells us? We're beloved. Ephesians 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted and the beloved. We're accepted and we're God's beloved because we're in Christ. Praise God. How does it feel to be beloved? God's beloved, not God's disgusted one. That's how I used to feel. Maybe that's why I appreciate grace so much, because when you've been under the belt, you like being under the word and under grace, not under law, under grace. So Ephesians 2:5-6. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Listen to this. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Notice the words in Christ. See, it's all in Christ. Every blessing we have is because what Christ did for us. It's not we're earning God's acceptance. We're his beloved because we always do the right thing. No. You know, the closest, I think, sometimes you think about God's love and examples. You know, it's unconditional, right? The closest, I think, but his is infinitely more, is a mother's love. You see mothers going to court, right, with their kids. He's a good boy, judge. Rotten dude, you know, rob people. But he's a good boy. Yeah. You know, a mother loves you unconditionally. You know, she has that usually, if you had a good mom. My mom was like that. She always had my back. I mean, she'd boot me out the house if I blew the rent. You know, and when I was younger, you know. Those are famous words. Got any money for me, man? Well, my partying days, you know, I took my check out. I didn't mean to spend it all, but she said, nah, when you took it, you meant to spend it. You're on the streets, man. She booted me out. I used to say, man, a finance company gives you 5 days notice. You ain't even give me 5 days. But she would let me back in later, you know, I'd pay her the rent, pay her the back rent. She always had my back. She loved me unconditionally. That don't mean she didn't discipline me, because that was her way. I just call her Sarge. So anyway, we see that everything is in Christ, right? And that's our position. And I like to say our identity, because position almost sounds like just a theological term. It's truth. We're so united with Christ because we're in Him and He's in us, that we're flesh of His flesh and bone of His bone. So if He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and we're His body and we're one, right? Many members, one body, we're one head, we're in union, then I almost think of it like a giant, you know, reaching in heaven, and, you know, we're there with Him, we're seated with Him, high above all principalities, powers, might, and dominions, right? Now, if we can just keep that truth daily, the more we do that, the more we're going to walk in victory over when Satan comes against us. We walk in that truth. We put on that spiritual armor, right? Let's go to Ephesians 3:1. You know what? That's not it. I guess 2:1. Yeah, it was. Why did I always do that when I'm trying to. That's right. In Ephesians 2:1. And you has He quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. See, because we're in Christ, we were made alive. His Spirit came in and dwelt us once and sealed us, right? We have God's seal of approval. We have God's seal that we're His children. And the Holy Spirit always reminds us, right, that He's our Abba. You know, that can be interpreted Papa, Daddy, intimacy. We got intimacy, we got. Just sometimes we don't use it. You know, we're too busy. Other things seem so important. We get distracted, you know. Go to Ephesians 5:30-32. Ephesians 5:30-32. Paul says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now back up to verse 30. So he's talking about the mystery, right? We're in Christ according to what? The mystery, right? For we are members of His body. Listen to this, of His flesh and of His bones. We're of His flesh and bones, many members, one body, right? We're Christ's mouth. We're Christ's ears to listen to someone when they need someone to talk to. We're Christ's arms to hold someone when they need an embrace. Put our arm around somebody, you know, you see them with their head down. We all get, you know, we get attacked. That's why we need each other, you know? Because people think, well, I don't need to go to church. You know, I can watch it on TV or read the Bible. Yeah, but maybe the church needs you. You know, because we all got something to give. You know, we shouldn't just come to church. We should come to get sound doctrine, right? So we can learn to apply it and be encouraged or challenged or comforted. But also come to church because offer your bodies to God as a living sacrifice. So to build each other up, edify each other, encourage each other, challenge each other. And he says, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And now Paul was talking about marriage. That's the context of this chapter. But Paul never is far from thinking about being in Christ and God's grace, right? So as he's teaching about marriage, all of a sudden he jumps and puts it together to remind us our intimacy with Christ, our oneness. He says, for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. What does join mean? In union or oneness. The marriage union, we say, right? That's how actually our marriages reflect our union with Christ. You know that? Think about it. And when you understand your union with Christ, when you understand his complete forgiveness for you, how God puts up with you all, he's patient with you, that helps you in your marriage, right? How God shows you grace, so we show each other grace. And the wife submits to her husband, honey. I'm playing with that one. No. Get some legalistic Pentecostal up here. No, I'm just playing. Mary's a very loving wife. I'm very thankful for her. But I like to have some fun while we're learning. Go to Ephesians 1:6. This should make us do just what Paul says here, or writes, to the praise of the glory of his grace. We should be praising God for the glory of his grace every day. You know, that blesses God. You know, like where Paul says, blessed in verse 3, blessed be to God, and blessed be God, blessed be God, blessed be God, right? And the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. God has blessed us. We didn't deserve it. Bless him with praise, adoration, service, right? He's a bless. We can bless God. Isn't that nice to know? Amen. That you can be a blessing to God. When you praise him from your heart, not to get none. I remember when I was a young Pentecost, didn't have much doctrine. And, you know, and I love my Pentecostal brothers and sisters who had some who really, wanted to serve the Lord. But they weren't equipped too well doctrinally. You know, there was a lot of buying Satan and, you know, this and that. But which, you know, doesn't work. And nowhere in the scripture does Paul tell us to bind Satan. Christ didn't even tell them, when they take the verse out of context. But anyway, I'm trying to think where I was going there. It'll come back to me, as always. I know what it was. You know, in them circles, charismatic, Pentecostal, and like I said, I love them, my brothers and sisters, if they trusted in Christ. And we should appreciate whether someone doesn't understand maybe some sound doctrine, they're still members of the body, right? And if you remember that, you'll be more patient with them, right? But there's a lot of word and faith, name and claim it, blab it and grab it, teaching that goes through there because they believe in extra-biblical revelation, right? Tongues, interpretation of tongues, or thus saith the Lord, and they say, the Lord's telling me to tell you right now. And I'm thinking, if God wouldn't tell me something, why didn't he just tell me himself? Why are you going to go through you? Right? But anyway, I remember my first ministry when I started preaching at the seniors' home, and I was affected by that the teaching. And I kept the tape to remind myself. Sometimes people are teaching things not to deceive, but because they've been deceived. And I said, we praise God to get him to bless us. Sounds good, don't it? No, you don't. I was wrong. It's like old James used to say, you're wrong, brother. Remember James? He's going to McDonald's with them some Baptist brothers, he'd be like, "You're wrong, brother. You got to rightly divide the word." But I was wrong. Sometimes, you know, spiritual honesty says, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Let's get right. Start teaching the right stuff. You know what the right thing is? You bless God for who He is. You praise God for who He is. Not to get something. He's already blessed you with every spiritual blessing. So now you're free to, that can be a form of worship when you're praising God. But that's not the only, or raising your hands in church, or you know, feel like quiet and, you know, maybe tap your toes, you know. But true worship is, grace frees us to offer our bodies to God as a living sacrifice, right? That's what he desires, because we love him because he loved us first. He initiates it and we respond and want to serve him and to glorify him and bring others to him. Hey, come on, you know, when you come to church, don't, hey, come on over to my house. I want you to introduce my dad. He's great. They love him. He told me he loves you. So anyway, we see that in, what I say, Ephesians 1:6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, he has made us accepted in the beloved. See, in him, it's all in Christ. Never think of yourself apart from Christ, because God doesn't think of you apart from Christ with his righteousness. Yeah. Go to Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Pages are sticking together, I said. In whom also you trusted. So who? In Christ, right? After that you heard the word of truth. So faith comes by hearing, hearing by what?
The word.
The word, right? And then what should that word remind you of too? The word of truth. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, right? So in whom ye also trusted after you heard the word of truth. So you heard the word rightly divided because you heard the right gospel, that Christ died for your sins. Personally, that means I got to recognize I'm a sinner and I can't save myself. I recognize before God there's none righteous, no, not one. All our righteousness is as filthy rags, and that's what yours was and mine was. And God forgave us, cleansed by the blood. Though your sins were scarlet, they're white as snow now. I was like, I make up songs. Mary sleeps on the way here, Jacob and Chris are in the back. If I ever fall asleep, we'll meet you in heaven. But I sing songs to the Lord. Then I make up songs. So I was making up some songs today. I'm thinking about the blood of Christ and how it cleanses. Now, and when you think, I don't like the cold, and you know, it's coming. But I used to get stressed in the summertime thinking about the winter, that it will come. And I said, what's wrong with me? I survive it every year, right? So we need to take our thoughts captive, because your emotions respond to your thoughts. And I would get like anxious. So now I know the snow is going to come, right? But right now we're just enjoying this beautiful leaves changing, right? But even the snow, look at that snow and think, your sins were as scarlet. They're white as snow. God looks at you and he sees you as a new creation in Christ. And it's because you're in Christ. Aren't you blessed to be in Christ?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Can we say, blessed be God, Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we had to hear the word rightly divided, right? So we know we're a sinner. That's the bad news, right? That's the offense of the cross, right? That you can't be good enough. You're totally filthy, unrighteous. Tell that to a very strict religious person. and see, they might smack you in the head, man, or they'll get, their neck will start popping like this and they'll turn red in the face. See, it's an offense that you can't save yourself. I got to come as a sinner and I got to realize Christ died for me. I'm a sinner. And that he was buried and he rose. That's the gospel today, right? That you're saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift to God. Christmas time coming, thinking of a gift. It's free to you, right? Well, husbands usually end up paying for their own gift. You know, they give the wife money and go shopping or whatever, right? But when you think of a true gift, it's paid by from someone else and given to you freely. You know, so it's not of us, it's a gift to God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Because you know what? We couldn't have worked hard enough. And it wouldn't matter how hard you worked if you're spiritually dead. What's a dead man need?
Life.
What did God, what's the answer to death? Life. What did Christ do? He rose from the dead. Why? So he could give you resurrection life. Why? Just because you can go, okay, I'm saved now. Praise God. I don't want people to think I'm a Jesus freak. They might think I'm weird. I'm just going to keep it to myself. I got resurrection life, you don't. No. Christ gave it to you. He came to indwell you, and now you're in union with him. You're one with him. He's in you, you're in him. And he wants to live through you, reach the lost, edify the saved, right? He wants to give us meaning and purpose for life. That's reason to wake up in the morning, ain't it? Instead of just waking up and saying, well, the best thing to start my day, I guess, is coffee. Don't get me wrong, I love coffee, but when I wake up in the morning, I say, thank you, Lord, for another day. And I offer myself to you, and thank you for giving me meaning and purpose. Use me in people's lives. Let's redeem the time. It's going fast. You know, I'm 65. Like, where to go, man? I was only, you know, 13, seemed like a few years ago. 21, 31, 41, 51, 61, 65. It goes fast. And the days are evil, Paul says, redeem the time. I don't want to get on negative things, but watch 6 o'clock news. Everybody knows what's going on. Some people know more what's going on there and focus on that than on Christ. So when you start looking at that, say, man, I got to redeem the time. I only got so much. Invest it. We're going to be in having a long time, ain't we?
Amen.
Invest in it. Verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. All right, now just hearing it don't save anybody, right? What happened? In whom also that ye believed. And what happened that moment you believe? You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Don't let anybody tell you, people out there. I know people here are grounded in sound grace doctrine, and you know you received the Holy Spirit the moment you got saved. This verse tells you. But there's teaching that says you get Christ and then tarry for the Holy Spirit. Go, you know, try. No! You're complete in Christ. They're telling you you're not complete. So you're chasing every wind, the doctrine. Ooh, the second move of the Holy Spirit, then the third, then the fourth. You know, let's do the Holy Spirit wave. You know, no, you're complete in Christ. See, when you know that, when you understand this body of truth, Paul calls a mystery. You don't get tossed to and fro, and then you're able to help other people if you've got patience. I appreciate Lori, man. She'll text me and say she's sharing with people at work and this and all different people. I'm very proud of her, you know. And I always pray that God takes some seeds and plants it, you know. Redeem the time, girl. Praise God. And so he says, which is the earnest of our inheritance. What is earnest money on a house? You're guaranteed you're going to buy that house, right? The Holy Spirit tells us we're guaranteed heaven. So that means eternal security is true, right? God didn't call it probation life, right? He calls it eternal life. He could have called it probation. You heard about that little girl, right, who somebody told her, well, honey, eternal life ain't really eternal. And she said, well, why did God say it if it ain't true? Kids will know this word if sometimes, especially if you're teaching them. So which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption and the purchased possession until the praise of His glory? Another thing being in Christ, you're guaranteed the rapture. You know that? I was praying for Les Feldick. He's getting older. He's at like 95. And, you know, his wife, they're still alive. And Les has always wanted to be here when the rapture happens. So I go, Lord, if it's your will, I'd love to see him. But if not, I'll see him in the rapture no matter what. It would be cool all of a sudden, right? Especially if you were sharing with somebody, right? And all of a sudden, bam! Go to be with Christ, and what would you say? I was just sharing you, Lord. He said, I know. I know. Wait till you get to the Bema seat. I know. God knows everything you do. Sometimes you think you're not being appreciated for the things you do, whether it's with friends, family, service and ministry. But God don't miss a thing. He don't miss a thing. He sees it. God don't got Alzheimer's. Go to Romans 5:1. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, that moment you place your faith in Christ, you're saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves. So faith, and it says not of works. So faith ain't a work. Faith is believing in the work that Christ did, right? And so we're just being justified by faith. So being in Christ, what does justified mean? It means being declared righteous. God declared you righteous. And, you know, I'm just thinking about it. Remember He spoke everything into existence? God made the heavens and the earth. Well, He says, you're justified. You're a new creation. And you are. And you got a totally righteous new nature. And that's who we are. So when we start seeing ourselves as God sees us, doesn't it make sense to start walking more in His Spirit, in that truth? That's why it's important to come to church and be reminded who we are. And then when you leave, remember who we are. If I told my son, remember you're a ball back. Remember you're a child of God when you leave here. Amen. We don't want to bring shame on the name, right? On Christ. And we don't have to because we're equipped. That's convicting. You know, legalism, yeah, they'll beat you up. You know, they'll wet you, then they'll whip you, right? Get you baptized. And if the preacher don't like you, he'll hold you down in the water a little bit longer, you know. So he's getting the Holy Ghost. Help! You're trying to breathe, you know. Anyway. We're justified what? By faith. And because we're justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not God's enemies anymore. We're on His side. We're His child. We got peace with Him. Praise God. I'm glad to know that, because if you don't know you got peace with God, you'll never have the peace of God. Because you'll be worried. Like if you got a good conscience, that, you know, the conscience is there for a reason. It's sort of like an alarm. You know that ain't right? What you doing, boy? That ain't who we are. You know, our conscience should tell us. You know, God gave us conscience for a reason. But when you don't understand, you have peace with God, and your conscience tells you that's wrong, right? And your conscience is energized by the Word of God. Keeps us sensitive to right and wrong, right? And so, if we don't understand we have the peace of God, or peace with God, because we're justified in Christ, then we're not going to have the peace of God, because we're going to think He's going to punish us. And you know, preachers this morning will be telling their people, God will get you if you ain't giving your 10% and from the top, before your taxes, right? You're robbing God, and He's going to get you. And how many people there are lying what they're giving? Yeah, there's in the Philippines, we have sisters, right, from the Philippines. There is no divorce, from my understanding. So you know what they do? They'll leave their husband and wife and go live with somebody. See, the law, what's it say? The law can tell you, even like the Ten Commandments and the 613 laws, they can tell you what to do, but they don't empower you to do it, because we're in Christ. We're empowered to do the right thing. And you know, when I've never regretted doing the right thing, have you? The wrong thing I have. Paul says, of those things you're now ashamed, you know, when I was younger. But you don't have to dwell on the past. Amen. Remember, your life started at the resurrection, right? You came through the cross. You died who you were in Adam. You were buried. God identified you through His Holy Spirit and placed you into Christ. He identified you with Christ's death, His burial, your past died, resurrection. So when you're reliving, and Satan will do that, right? Like, you know what they say, when he brings your past up, remind him of his future. He's always trying to condemn you. But you can say, I don't know what you're talking about. Because God ain't, when if he would go before God, God would say, I don't know what you're talking about. You know why? God dealt with them sins. And that's not who we are anymore. We're not just an old, you know, it sounds very humble, right? I'm just an old sinner, saved by grace. No, you were a sinner. That was your identity, and you were in Adam. Now you are in Christ, you are a saint. What does Paul write? To the saints at Corinth, right? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, since we're right by Romans. This is part of being in Christ, you're a saint. And were the Corinthians real moral people? There's a lot of carnality going on in that church. But what does the Holy Spirit through Paul always do? Reminds you of your identity, then he deals with the behavior, right? And it don't make sense. If, you know, if I'm a drug addict, hi, I'm Paul Baalbek, I'm a drug addict. What's a drug addict do? Does drugs. But if I'm a child of God, maybe I struggle with something. What if it was, you had a problem with alcohol, say, before you got saved? Well, Christians can have problems later. But if I'm a drug addict, then the most natural thing to do is what? Go do drugs. If you're a bulimic, what's the natural thing to do after you eat? Go splash, right? Gross, but if you're a child of God, does it make sense? And you've been freed from your bondages of slavery, of this sin by the cross, right? Does it make sense to go do be enslaved again to drugs? No, because that ain't who you are anymore. Don't make sense. That's a renewing of our minds as we're into this word, right? Never get in my verses, all of them. All right, 1 Corinthians. I do want to deal with that one thing. I got about 3 minutes after this verse. Verse 2. unto the church of God which is at Corinth. Remember how the Corinthians were, a very carnal church? To them that are sanctified in Christ, they're set apart in Christ by His Holy Spirit, in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, listen to this, with all that in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So, because you're in Christ, what are you? You're a saint. Set apart one. That's what sanctified means, being set apart, right? So, how are you set apart? Because Christ's Spirit is in us. People in the world don't have that, right? They don't have resurrection life. It's sad. They don't even realize they don't have spiritual life. You know, they go, I'm not religious. And I go, neither am I. God hates religion. Because religion is man trying to earn its way to acceptance with God. He goes, but I'm spiritual. And I always think, sometimes I don't say what I think. Thank goodness. Yeah. But I always think, how can you be spiritual if you're spiritually dead? And then I try and go in a roundabout way of explaining about salvation. You know, you plant seeds. And also, not only plant seeds, challenge them. Say, it's a decision whether you reject it, seed decision, or whether you don't. But know this, choices have consequences, right? Let's go. Go to Romans 16:7. That's that verse about Paul talking about, what did I say, Romans 16:7? Yeah, 16:7. Because this will throw, if you don't understand, Romans 16:7. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. See, in Christ before me. You mean Paul's not the first person in the body of Christ? That's not what he said. He said they were in Christ before him, not in the body of Christ. And if you look, even Old Testament saints, they were in the Lord. Go to, see, they were in Christ according to prophecy, not the body of Christ according to mystery. So don't get thrown off on that verse. Go to, I'm going to close with this, Isaiah 45. Verse 17, that's like in the middle of the Old Testament, right after Psalms and Proverbs. Isaiah 45. Verse 7. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. 17, I'm sorry. But anyway, you see, it's about the Lord. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord. See, there's kingdom believers that are in the Lord, but not in the body of Christ. With an everlasting salvation, you shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. Go to verse 24 and 25. Surely shall one say, in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. See, in the Lord. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. So you see the difference? Anyone who was ever saved is because of what Christ did. I don't care what dispensation. Now, they didn't believe the gospel back there that we believed. You know, God dispensed different gospels. You had the kingdom gospel, Peter preached at Pentecost. You got the gospel of grace that Paul preached, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, Ephesians 2:8-9, right? Hopefully it's been beneficial and encouraging to you this morning. Let's close with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for placing us in Christ. Thank you for taking us out of fallen Adam. We were rebels. Some of us were rebelling in religion, coming man's way instead of your way, which is only through Christ. Some of us were just living like the Corinthians and worse, maybe. But out of your grace, you loved us. You demonstrated your love in this while we were still sinners, filthy sinners before you. Christ Jesus died for us. I pray, Father, if there's one who has never trusted in Christ, they'll make that choice today. They don't got to raise their hand, walk an aisle. They don't even have to say a prayer. They don't have to try and turn from all their sins and commit their life to you, because those in the flesh cannot please you, Father. But just believe that Christ died for their sins. He was buried and he rose again. And that they would be eternally saved, Father. And for us who are saved, Lord, let your grace teach us to deny ungodliness and live upright and godly, and have a zeal for good works, to serve you in a labor of love, Father, in a work of faith. And everything done here, Father, it's I realize it's all because your Spirit's doing it. So we give you the glory, and we just want Christ's name to be magnified in his person. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So that's it.